It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
The U.S. is amplifying calls for Russia to stop its aggressive actions along the Ukrainian border. And the State Department on Sunday recommended that all U.S. citizens leave Ukraine due to the threat of invasion by Russia, who've already deployed 100,000 troops near its border with Ukraine. The State Department had earlier told the families of embassy personnel to leave. In 2014, Russia seized and annexed Crimea, and Britain said over the weekend that Moscow is now planning to install a pro-Russian regime in Ukraine. A U.S. National Security Council spokesperson called the alleged plot deeply concerning. Moscow called the allegation, quote, ridiculous. But U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken warned on Sunday that there would be a severe response by the U.S. and its allies if, quote, a single additional Russian force enters Ukraine in an aggressive way. In preparation for a possible invasion, the U.S. sent Ukraine a second weapons supply shipment of close to 200,000 pounds of lethal aid. Some political leaders, including Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, are urging the U.S. and its allies to penalize Moscow with sanctions now before any lives are lost. The Biden administration and its NATO allies are instead focused on bolstering troop levels in the region to support Eastern European and Baltic allies. The New York Times reporting that top Pentagon officials have presented the president with options to send, quote, several thousand U.S. troops, as well as warships and aircraft to NATO allies in the Baltic and Eastern Europe. Stay tuned. Braving the cold, protesters marched along the National Mall in Washington, D.C. on Sunday in opposition to government-mandated COVID-19 vaccinations. Organizers of the rally said they were protesting mandates, not the vaccines themselves. Sure. The demonstration came as the Biden administration is calling for more Americans to get vaccines and booster shots to help curb the spread of the highly infectious Omicron variant, which has made so many workers sick that many businesses are struggling to stay open. Just last week, the administration opened the covidtest.gov site for Americans to request four tests to be sent to their homes. This week, they're beginning distributing 400 million free N95 masks. This is the latest federal step aimed at reining in the spread of COVID-19. These masks, by the way, are coming from the Strategic National Stockpile. They'll be made available at many local pharmacies and community health centers. This is about half of the 750 million N95 masks currently stored in the reserve. The move comes as the U.S. grapples with an unprecedented surge in COVID-19 cases due to the Omicron variant. But there's potentially good news on the horizon. Dr. Fauci saying on Sunday that the COVID-19 Omicron wave was peaking nationally, but he warned Americans not to get overconfident. Fauci said that he hoped that in a few weeks, the level of infection would fall below the, quote, area of control, where the virus will still be around, but won't, quote, disrupt society. Fingers crossed. Daily new infections have begun falling in the Northeast and Midwest. Nationwide, totals are declining, though they still remain more than double last winter's peak. Hospitalizations and deaths appear to be leveling off, although there could be, quote, a bit more pain and suffering with hospitalizations in areas with low vaccination and booster rates. Turning to the select committee investigating what happened on January 6th, we now learn from Benny Thompson, the chair of the committee, that they've already spoken with former Attorney General William Barr. Benny Thompson on Face the Nation was asked about a draft executive order given to the then president seeking to have the Defense Department seize voting machines following his loss to President Biden in the 2020 election. Thompson said, quote, we're concerned that our military was part of this big lie on promoting that the election was false. So if you're using the military to potentially seize voting machines, even though it's a discussion, the public needs to know, end quote. Barr resigned in December of 2020 after rebuking Trump's false claims about widespread election fraud. Several news outlets reported on the draft order last week. It was among the Trump White House documents the National Archives handed over after the Supreme Court turned down Trump's request to keep them secret. Separately, Boris Epstein, an advisor to Trump's 2020 presidential campaign, acknowledged late last week that he was part of the effort to prop up so-called alternate electors to support Trump in key states. Former Trump lawyer Rudy Giuliani supervised that effort, according to three sources with direct knowledge of the scheme. It involved helping pro-Trump electors access state Capitol buildings, drafting language for fake electoral certificates to send to the federal government, and finding replacements for electors who refused to go along with the plot. Amazing. Oi, she's back.
They're our next door neighbors, and you can actually see Russia from land here in Alaska.
Former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin filed a defamation lawsuit against the New York Times. Well, the trial is supposed to begin on Monday. Palin, the 2008 Republican vice presidential nominee, has accused the Times of falsely linking her to the 2011 Arizona mass shooting that left six people dead and then Congresswoman Gabby Giffords seriously wounded. The Times said in a 2017 editorial that Palin's political action committee had incited the violence. Palin says the Times and former editorial page editor James Bennett defamed her. She's requesting unspecified damages and has argued in court papers that the editorial cost $421,000 in damage to her reputation. To win, Palin has to show that the editorial was written with, quote, actual malice toward her. But late-breaking development, oops, she did it again. Sarah Palin tested positive for COVID. Again, this may delay the start of the trial. In Minnesota today, three former police officers who helped Derek Chauvin restrain George Floyd on that Minneapolis street back in May of 2020 are set to stand trial in a federal courtroom for violating Floyd's civil rights. The three officers previously pleaded not guilty to the federal charges, while Chauvin admitted guilt in December as part of a plea deal. The Arizona Democratic Party announced over the weekend that it has formally censured Senator Kyrsten Sinema after she voted to maintain the Senate's filibuster rules, effectively blocking Democrats' voting legislation, a key priority for the party. The symbolic gesture from the Arizona Democrats adds to the mounting pressure Sinema's facing from those in her state who helped her flip a Senate seat in 2018. Sinema, who began her career as a progressive, has been a target of the left during Biden's administration for her stances. Sinema and Joe Manchin of West Virginia were the only two Democrats to join all Republicans in voting to maintain the Senate's 60-vote threshold to overcome a filibuster on voting rights legislation. And finally, some late-breaking news Monday morning. The Supreme Court announced that it will hear two cases that present an existential threat to affirmative action in university admissions. Lower courts found that both of these schools complied with Supreme Court precedents that said race may be used as one factor universities can consider in a wide-ranging evaluation of applicants. These cases most likely will be heard in the term that begins in October. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is fully listener-supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.